Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joseph Henry Gilmore, born April 28, 1834, in Boston, Massachusetts, died July 23, 1918, Rochester, New York. He was the pastor of the church in Rochester when the Lord called him home. From this period, you realize that living in America was a very difficult time. It was during the Civil War. And it was only during this period that Joseph Gilmore was burdened. He did not write many hymns. Was burdened to write this particular hymn. It was more or less by accident rather than by design. He was born the son of the governor, Joseph A. Gilmore. He was Joseph H. Gilmore. He graduated from Brown University in 1834, and he was called into the ministry, and he graduated from Newton Theological Institute in 1861. And very soon after his ordination, he pastored a Baptist church in New Hampshire. He assisted his father for a while from 1834 to 1864 while the father was governor. He busied himself in editing the newspaper called Daily Monitor. And then from 65 to 87, he pastored the Second Baptist Church in Rochester, New York. Now, how did he end up in the Second Baptist Church in Rochester? Sometime in July 23, when he died, he had blessed many people in Rochester. Because of his parsonage in Rochester, he was also the seminary professor in the university, in the seminary nearby, and he taught Hebrew. How did he arrive there? Well, sometime in 1862, as a 28-year-old student who was also about to become a pastor, he was invited to preach at the historic First Baptist Church in Philadelphia. We were there to visit this church when we were in Philadelphia studying in Biblical Theological Seminary. And while he was preparing to preach, this was his testimony. I set out to give the people an exposition of the 23rd Psalm. I had given this exposition on three or four other occasions, but this time I did not get beyond the words, "He leadeth me." So greatly impressed was I with the blessedness of divine guidance that I made this my theme when he preached Psalm 23. He later felt that the dark days of the Civil War may have subconsciously led him to focus on God's leadership. If you know anything about the Civil War, you realize that it was the Northern Americans fighting against the Southern Americans. Thousands of them died, and many were caught in between. You'll find fathers and sons on opposite sides, brothers killing brothers on opposite sides. It was a very difficult, difficult time, and many of them had to make very important decisions that was a matter of life or death. And so this psalm, "He leadeth me," or this hymn, "He leadeth me," based upon Psalm 23, according to Joseph Henry Gilmore, prompted him to pen these words. At the close of the sermon, the message, the meeting, he together with others went to the home of a deacon. And while he was there, they continued to discuss of divine guidance, about God's guidance in a difficult time. And while he was still talking and listening, he said that he wrote on a piece of paper the exposition of this psalm that resulted in the words of this hymn. And he handed the paper to his wife, and then he forgot about the incident. The words that Henry had written began with this famous stanza. They call him Henry, so that not to confuse between him and his father. "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever I do, wherever I be, still it's God's hand that leadeth me." 3 years later, after he penned this hymn, having passed it for some time in New Hampshire, he He was invited to this Second Baptist Church in Rochester to try out whether they would want him to be the pastor. And in Baptist churches, to try out means you go to the church and you speak to the congregation and see whether they like your preaching. And you'll probably be there for a few weeks, a month or so. And if they like you, the congregation will take a vote and then they'll vote you in. If not, they will just say bye-bye to you, see you next time. And so his first meeting there was very unusual. He was waiting for the Lord to direct him whether it was God's will for him to move from one congregation to the next, to this Second Baptist Church in Rochester. And so while he was seated in the pew waiting to preach, he opened the hymnal, and he picked up the church hymnal, he said, to see what songs they sang, and was surprised to have the book fall open to the very song that he had written 3 years earlier. He was surprised that this hymn that he wrote found itself inside the hymnal. He thought he gave it to his wife and that was it. He forgot all about it. And so when he went home, he said, "I related this experience to my wife. I do not understand it," I said. "My words have been set to music by this man, Dr. William B. Bradbury. Yet I had not given the words to anybody." My wife smiled and said, "I can explain it, Joseph. I felt that the words would bless the hearts of people in these troublesome times. So I sent the poem to the Watchman and Reflector. I'm glad to know that they have printed it." The famous hymn composer William Bradbury had seen the lines and added music in the last two lines of the chorus. Henry took this incident as divine leadership, that he should accept a situation in the Rochester Church, and through his change in ministry to this place. He was made a professor of logic and English literature at the university, as well as to teach Hebrew all the days of his life until his retirement and then his death. He leadeth me. How important it is to have God leading us in our life. You know, life is precious. Sure, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will have eternal life. But what about this physical life that we have? Is our life led by the Lord? Or is it a life that we live leaning on our own understanding rather than on God's guidance? Because a life lived in such a manner would be a life wasted. God did not save us without a purpose. There are many of us who may be believers at a very tender age, since school days. There are some of us who are believers much later, in our evening years, and how we long if the Lord would have saved us much earlier, so that we would not have wasted the better half of our years with strength, with energy, serving the Lord instead of serving self and embracing worldly affairs. He leadeth me is very, very necessary in our age of confusion. For we are living in the last days, where choruses from many different directions are shouting into our ears, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." The fashion world will be clamoring for our money to follow them in this direction. And then you have the educational realm calling us, "Follow in the direction, try to get all the A's you want and excel for excellence sake. And then you will be able to enter into prestigious schools and universities, and then your secure future will become a reality." Many, many different voices shouting into our ears, "Follow me." Who is leading your life, dear friends? Even for Christians, just because we are Christians does not mean that automatically our life is led by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not believe, you will meet Lot, the nephew of Abraham, in heaven. And you can ask him this question: "Who led your life, Lot, while you were on earth?" His singular answer would be, "Lot led his own life." And it was a life of sin. It was a life of vexation, the Bible described it. He wasted his life in the city of Sodom, and his family was ruined by his obviously horrendous decision. He just could not get himself out of it because he loved the world too much. He was so entrenched in the life of Sodom and in the business realm, in the money, in the position that he held in Sodom. He knew it was wrong, but he just did not have the courage to pack up and go and follow Uncle Abraham. So just because we are Christians is no automatic confirmation that your life is in accordance to God's will. So the first thing we need to bear in mind is this. If we are not led by the Lord, we are led by someone else or something else. And that someone else and something else will lead us astray. And every second that we follow something else or someone else is a second wasted. It's a second that could be used for the glory of God and for the blessing of others. It will be wasted for all eternity. It will not come back. It will not return. Every second wasted is a second gone. And so therefore it is so important that we must ensure that our life is not wasted. And from Psalm 23, we can learn the importance of right leadership. Verse 1 teaches us the identity of the leader. The identity of this leader is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not called a lion tamer. That would make us lions. Ferocious. But he calls us sheep. And that's why he says, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The word shepherd, in other portions of God's word, is translated as pastor. So he will be our good shepherd, our good pastor, and we are the sheep. The reason why we are described as sheep and Christ as our leader is the shepherd, the good shepherd, is because sheep are very dumb animals, perhaps the dumbest of all of God's creatures. They cannot fend for themselves. Even when they are grown up and they are mature, they can hardly look after themselves. They do not know the difference between danger and safety. They have no knowledge between what is good grass and poisonous weeds. They are not able to discern between sweet water, good water, and poisonous, dirty, contaminated water. They can't tell the difference. And the moment you make them move and walk a lot, they will soon die. They need 110% attention. They literally have to be led. They cannot lead themselves. They are really, really dumb. Really? You do not see them migrate. They really need the shepherd's attention, 100%. And God wants us to look at him, to see him as such, as a shepherd. Not as any other picture, but as a shepherd. Because as long as we do not see ourselves as sheep, we will want to go our own way. We will think that we are better than the shepherd. If we do not see ourselves as sheep, we see ourselves as any other kind of animal. They will go their own way. And the moment they go their own way, they will be in trouble. They will be lost. And they will lead other sheep away. There are four things that a sheep must have in order to feel secure and safe. They must be free from hunger. That includes thirst. Or else they'll be very, very jittery. They will not have any peace. They must also be free from fear. They must also be free from parasites. And lastly, they must also be free from the disturbance of other sheep. Sure, there will be some naughty sheep. And you know what the shepherd will do to sheep that will want to go astray, away from all the rest? If he wants them to go left, there will be certain sheep that want to go right. And because this naughty sheep, rebellious sheep, want to go right, he will probably lead others astray. You know what the shepherd will do to such a sheep? Break the leg. He will deliberately break the leg of this rebellious sheep. Because if he doesn't do that, this sheep will die. And not only will this sheep die, this sheep will lead others astray and die with it. And then he will break the leg, and then he will put splint to straighten the leg, and then he will carry the sheep with him. To break the leg, to hurt it, is to love it, to save it. In order to save this rebellious, naughty sheep, God had to discipline, chastise the sheep, to bring the sheep back. That's why he is the good shepherd. And unless and until We do not lean on our own understanding. Unless and until we see ourselves as nobody, it is very, very difficult to see Christ as our shepherd 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day, 24/7. And if He is truly our shepherd, He promised us, you shall not want. You shall not lack anything in this life and the life beyond this life. You trust me. In times of great distress, in times of great difficulty, especially in times like this, terrorism, a very, very, very strong reality. Economic burnout, very strong reality. It's going in a direction that is mind-boggling, and you think humans can solve it? Humans will never be able to solve it. The immorality that is infiltrating into our household. Homosexuality very soon will become an acceptable worldwide lifestyle. Where do you think we can find safety and security outside of the Good Shepherd? Nowhere. Nowhere. You think migration will help? Migration is just as good as jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. Only safety and security is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere else, no one else. And unless and until He is our Good Shepherd, our Savior, He cannot lead you and guide you every day of your life. You have to turn to Him and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. For Him to become your Good Shepherd, you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner. Undone. If you were to die right now in your sin, you will end up in hell. But God loved you and sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you. And if you truly, sincerely confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's as simple as that. And that He died for your sins, and He rose again for your justification before God, that all your sins are forgiven because of Christ. And then you ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and to be your Savior from your heart sincerely. Instantaneously, you will be His sheep, and He will be your shepherd. And then He is now willing and able to lead you and to guide you, and He promised you this. You will not want. You will not lack anything in this life. Never. His promise. He put His name on the line, and He never lies. He never lies. So don't go our own way. Don't second guess God. And how will you be led by Him? Through the study of God's Word. The more you study God's Word, the more the Good Shepherd will lead and guide you. And these are the areas He will guide you. First, verse 2 and verse 3 describe the method of His leading. Verse 4, 5 and 6 describe the extent or the scope of His leading. Okay? So verse 2 and verse 3 describe His leading. How will you and I not experience any lack or any want? He says this. He maketh me. Sometimes you may not want to, but He will make sure that you do. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He will make us to lie down in green pastures. And He will make sure that the green pastures is lushy green, because the animal cannot decide. They do not know the difference. And the moment they hop from place to place, move from place to place, looking for green grass, the sheep won't like it. They will soon die. They have to be led, they have to be made to stay put, to eat from this particular pasture. And the shepherd will ensure that this is the pasture that the sheep will best grow to find its satisfaction. That's why it's so important for us to pray and ask the Lord to guide us. Which office, which company to work in. Ask and pray. The Lord will guide you. And when the Lord guided you, and when you know that this is where God wants you to be, you lack nothing. You'll be so contented, so satisfied, so happy to know that this is God's will for my life. This is the pasture. This is where the Lord wants me to grow, to experience His love, His grace, and His mercy. You know how rich to know that? That this is what God has designed you and created you for. He will make us to lie down in green pastures, and then He will lead us beside still waters. And because the sheep is so timid, if Let's say there is a running, fast running water. And there will be a pool, a puddle of contaminated brownish water. Do you know which one the sheep will go to? The fresh, cool running stream or the muddy, dirty, contaminated pool of water? They will pick the contaminated pool of water. You know why? Because if the water is moving, the sheep will not go there to drink. They are scared. They're scared of even the sound of the water moving, gurgling. They're frightened. And so the shepherd will have to move the sheep away. And so how will they drink from this running stream? The shepherd will gather stones. And then will lock up the water and create a pool of water that will be still, so that the timid sheep will go there and drink from there. That's what the shepherd would do. And that's why he says, lead me beside the still waters. It has to be still, because if it is moving, if it is running, they will not go there. They are frightened. And the shepherd will ensure that the place you go to will be the best for you. And when he leads you there, he will make sure that he will supply and provide everything that you need. Because he knows your makeup. He knows our makeup. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows we are fearful. We are easily frightened, easily discouraged. And so he says, I will lead you. You trust me. And I will make sure that green pastures and still waters will be your lot for the rest of your life. He guarantees. And when you listen to him, when you follow him, what will he do? He will restore your soul. He restoreth my soul. That means when we are down, when we are downcast, he will be there to lift us up, to strengthen us in the inner man. That is the duty of the shepherd, to ensure that the sheep will not be weakened, will not lie down and die. You know, the sheep are so clumsy sometimes when they eat too much and they become very fat and heavy. And you look at their legs, they are very tiny, like little sticks. And so when they are fat and heavy, and sometimes when they are moving around and there's a little depression on the ground, they will stumble and they will fall. And if they fall, they will try to wriggle and get themselves up. The more they wriggle, the more they're going to turn themselves upside down. And the feet will all be pointed upwards. And then the more they struggle, the worse they get. And if the sun is hot shining down on them, they will not last more than a few hours. And if it is winter time, it is cool, they will last for a few days. They just lie there and wait and wait and wait. If the shepherd does not come and turn them back round and turn them right side up, they will just wait there. Wait to die. And if the ravenous wolf come and see them like this, it will be lamb chop. That's it. They can't defend themselves. They are utterly, completely helpless. And if they get themselves entangled in the bush, they can't go stun and get themselves out. They're just stuck there and they just wriggle, wriggle. And then the more they move, the more they attract dangerous wild animals. And then they will just die. That's the sheep. And when God says, He restoreth my soul, that means whatever situation that we find ourselves in, and sometimes we become like this big fat lamb, blessings upon blessings, and we become so comfortable, and then we, like this big fat lamb, and get ourselves into a little hollow, and then we fall, and the more we struggle, the worse it gets. And then we entangle ourselves until we just don't know what to do. The Lord will be there to put us right side up. He will be there. He promised us, He restoreth my soul. And then once He has done that, He turned the sheep right side up, and then He will lead the sheep back unto the path of righteousness for your sake. Is it for your sake? For His name's sake. He put His name on the line, remember? The Good Shepherd. He promised us, if I am your shepherd, I will lead you and you shall not want. And so when you are in that kind of calamity, that kind of problems, where you struggle, the more you struggle, the more helpless you become, He will be there. And once He settles us upside down, upside, right side up, He will lead us in the path of righteousness. This is the way to go. This is the way of safety. This is the way where you can get back into green pastures and still waters. Has this not been our experience time and time again when you do the will of the Lord? There will be difficulties. Doesn't mean that there will be no dangers. There will be dangers. There will be problems. There will be enemies. There will be wolves, there will be lions, there will be bears. But the shepherd will always be there to protect and to watch over us. And that brings us to the third point, the scope of his leading. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Difficult times, right? So while he leads us in the path of righteousness, there will be enemies. But that's how the Bible describes these enemies. It's only a shadow. You know, the shadow of a lion doesn't bite. You know that? Have you ever seen a shadow of a lion? Have you ever been bitten by the shadow of a lion? Ah, you see? Never, right? So no matter how ferocious the animal is, as long as it's only a shadow, you don't be afraid. And death, the Bible said, is our last enemy. And the valley of the shadow of death is occupied by a lot of wild animals, wolves, lions. Very common in Palestine. Wild dogs, wild animals. Very common. Lions. And God said, don't worry. As far as the Lord is concerned, they are but shadow. And so even as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod, the rod is a very thick, club-like stick. The purpose is for protection. Close combat against wild animals, to club them and to beat them. And at the same time, to throw at the beast. So it is thick, short, like the baton of the policeman, but much thicker, heavier. And then you have the staff. The staff at the end will be a little hook, a crook. And this is used to guide, to save, to help the sheep if they fall into a ravine or a little cliff that is too steep for the shepherd to bring the sheep up. They will use this staff with a crook to pull the sheep up. And so you have two objects. One is to protect, the other one is to guide. That makes the sheep very safe and very secure. Protection and guidance. And the shepherd will make sure that no wild animals will ever, ever come near his sheep, as long as he is around, as long as he is strong and able. And by the way, our good shepherd is God Almighty. And he is also omnipresent. He's always around. He's all powerful. No enemy will be able to thwart him or get the better of him. And so the safety and the security that we have externally and internally is secured. Now please do not define safety and security to mean that you will be like Superman without kryptonite. You know Superman without kryptonite? The only weakness in Superman is the green stone. True? You shoot at him, bullet will bounce off. A big truck bang at him, the truck will crush. He will still no scratch. Doesn't mean that you will be like that, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, whoa, I can walk in front of a bus. Boom! The bus will go stunned. It doesn't mean that. Nothing like that. That is to tempt God, you know. He will protect us definitely. Because for the Christian, just because we breathe our last breath, or we are eaten up by lions, or like Isaiah sawn into two, or like Paul got his head cut off, doesn't mean that God did not protect you, you know. Please understand this. Doesn't mean that you will not be burned at the stake like William Tyndale. God's protection means that every step of the way, until the task that God has for you is completed, you are invincible. And once your task is completed, it is time to go home. Whichever way you exit this world, it is still going home. Whether it is crushed by tons and tons of debris, if you're a Christian, killed in the World Trade Tower, 9/11. If you are a Christian, your task is done. Or you are drowned in the sea or eaten up by sharks, your task is done. And what happens when your task is done for the Christian? When you experience death, you go home. You go home to be with the Lord. And what do you hear from the Lord? Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. So please understand the protection from the Lord, not from our perspective, as if you are nothing but a Superman. It doesn't mean that you will not forsake. It doesn't mean that you will not be incarcerated or put in exile like John the Apostle in the Isles of Patmos in his evening years. It doesn't mean that you will not languish in prison like the Apostle Paul. It doesn't mean any of these things. It simply means that God will take good care of you, and God allows some testings and some trials to come our way for His purpose, that we may learn to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him not only in good times, but also in times of adversities, for our own well-being, that we may become a perfect man, James tells us. And so He will protect us, He will make sure that you are where you are, unless He says different. And whatever He says that is different, you know that it will turn out for our good. Trust Him. So the scope includes protection, so that you and I need not fear. And in the face of enemies, verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. David says, what does that mean? Then as the sheep, even in the face of our enemies, God will prepare a table before us. Do you know what it means by when the enemies are knocking at the door, surrounding, and then you can still sit down and eat? That means safety and security. You don't have to worry. To be able to sit down and eat like per normal, normally, as if everything is well, everything is okay. That is the level, that is the extent, the scope of His protection. When you are surrounded by enemies of all kinds of calamities, like the whole world collapsing around you. But He is your shepherd. You can sit down and have fellowship with Him and eat in peace. Eat in peace. The storm may be all there, blowing, twisting, everything will be going upside down. But you will be there, calm and quiet, like in the eye of the storm. You can sit there, and the enemies will be there, threatening to come in all kinds of behavior, wild and dangerous. You are at peace. Why? Because your shepherd is there. And He will prepare a meal for you. In the presence. Not in the absence. In the presence of your enemies. And He will anoint your head with oil. My cup runneth over. Overflowing. You know why He anoints the head with oil? You see, in the head of the sheep, their tendency is to have a lot of flies on their head, on their nose especially. And these flies will try to crawl inside, and then they will lay eggs onto the nose of the sheep. And when they lay eggs, it will fester. And then the sheep will get sick, and then the sheep will die. And so when you anoint the head of the sheep, the flies will disappear, will fly away. It will not irritate the sheep, and it will keep the sheep safe and secure. And so all this irritant will be driven away when you apply the oil. And this is to tell us, even the most minute things, the little irritants that can disturb you and that can cause you to lose sleep, don't worry, the Lord will be there to remove the very dangerous as well as the little irritants, and to make sure that you are safe and secure in Him. And He will do it, the Bible says, until your cup runneth over, until much, much more than you could ever, ever imagine, much, much more than you could ever, ever need. He leadeth me. In times of testings, in times of trials, in times of danger, in times of calamity, don't lean on ourselves. Lean on the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us. He has given to us eternal life. This life that we have is how many more years? A few score years, and that's about it. It is so foolish of us to commit our eternity into the hand of our loving Savior and not to commit our trivial few years onto His hand, thinking that we can lead this life better than Him. How foolish can we ever be? We have God Almighty who knows the beginning and the end. And He says, I want to lead you and guide your life in a direction that will be the best for you. Don't go away from me. Don't go your own way, because to go your own way is to enter into the punitive will of God, where you will face judgment, punishment, pain, and sorrow. How many individuals have gone away from the Lord and do not want the Lord's leading? And they took matters into their own hands out of impatience. They marry unbelievers. And then the nightmare begins. And it doesn't just go away overnight. It goes on and on and on and on and on, until the other person truly, sincerely becomes a believer. If not, it goes on and on and on. and all you do is come to church alone, and if the spouse make your life miserable and bar you from coming to church, you will have nightmares, quarreling at home over simply just coming to church. And he won't let you read the Bible, won't let you pray, and you can't even give thanks at the table. And all because of impatience, you marry an unbeliever. Sure, you may have repented, but that does not mean that your marriage disappears. The consequences of your action, of your going in your own will and your own direction, will be the pain that you have to endure in this lifetime. And there will be others who blunder and fall into all kinds of sin. You do business and you accept bribes. And the moment you accept bribes, you are done for. You are done for. It will be a snare. It will be a big, big boulder on your shoulder that you just cannot get out of. What could you do? You confess a sin. To show the sincerity of a confession, you have to admit to the authorities that you have taken bribe. And what awaits you may be imprisonment. And you dare not. And the longer you delay, the worse you get. And you do not know when everything will be exposed into the open, and then shame will come. When you do not allow the Lord to lead and guide you, and out of panic or of desperation, you take matters into your own hands. And you pay the price. And those who go overseas and fall into sexual sin, immorality, adultery or fornication, also another nightmare. You do not allow the Word of God, the Lord, to guide you and to keep you safe. You fall into such sin. And then you pay the price. How do you come back and tell? You know it is eating you up. You know that your conscience will bother you for the rest of your life, unless and until you confess it before God and before the people you have betrayed. Don't take matters into your own hands. There is no better leader than God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. If you do not allow Him to lead you, it is as good as choosing someone else. Either way, you are going to be led. Whether it is by your own willpower or by some other factors, you and I will be led. The only time you stop being led is when you don't breathe, when you die. Then the leading stops. And by then, if it is not led by the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be a time of great torment and judgment. If you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior, you end up in hell, and that's it. For all eternity. For all eternity. Burn in the lake of fire again and again and again and again and again. And we pray that none of us and none of our loved ones will ever, ever end up that way. And we as Christians, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and your life is not led by Him, if you are led by someone else or something else, the number of people that you stumble because of your Christian witness or your bad Christian witness will perhaps haunt you for the rest of your life. You look at Lot. When he told them about the impending fire and brimstone that will fall upon Sodom to destroy everything, he went to his daughter's house together with the wife's husband. They laughed at him. Get away, old man. This is paraphrasing. You want to tell us about the destruction? You have lost your moral right to tell us about God's judgment. You are no better than us. Was he saved? Yes. But he lost his credibility. He lost his moral authority because he was not led by God. He led his own life. And he led himself into sin, into Sodom, and he died. His witness died. Nothing to show. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. His wife could not let go of Sodom. She became a pillar of salt. The daughter and the husband could not let go of Sodom. They got burned and they died. And they entered into hell because of Lot. Don't take your life and my life for granted. It is precious. Every second the Lord gives to us, it's precious, dear friends. Surely goodness and mercy, that's the extent, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's heaven. So God, the Good Shepherd, can lead us all the rest of our lives and all the way beyond this life into heaven itself. Forever and ever and ever. How great and how wonderful a shepherd we have. And if you are not a Christian, you do not know Christ as your shepherd, He will become your judge one day. And may that day not come for you. Because when that day comes, it will be a day of great torment. And we do not wish to see anyone standing before God as a sinner without a Savior. Because the thought of anyone ending up in the lake of fire for all eternity is a very frightful and sad, sad thought. Not even for our worst enemy do we ever wish such a terrible, terrible end. Come to the Savior and know Him as your shepherd, the good shepherd. And for us who say we know Him as our good shepherd, don't take matters into your own hands. Let Him lead us. Let Him lead us all the way until eternity. Surely goodness, His goodness and His mercy will follow us. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to us, O Lord, this night out of Thy holy book, especially to some who are still outside Your kingdom, that they may truly understand what it means to be a sinner without a Savior, that they may understand also what it means to be a sinner saved by the Good Shepherd. O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction to such a soul that the person may come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, also for ourselves who are Christians, who know the Lord as our Shepherd. May we not live this life without Him leading us, guiding us, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we commit our lives into His loving hands. Help us, therefore, to always pray, to always seek His direction and His guidance, that this life that we have to live may be lived to the praise and glory of His holy name. Help us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.